Good morning. It's 1st of April. Our New Testament reading today is Luke 24. I'm going to read to you from part of an exhortation that was given by Brother Harry Tennant. I read, "In secret, the Lord had risen, and the angel had descended. There had been an earthquake, and the stone was rolled away, and the angel sat upon it. The guards were stricken and afraid. They trembled greatly and fell as though they were dead. The worthless seal of the authorities was broken, that the word of God might be kept." It was all reminiscent of another tomb, a lion's den which was covered at its mouth by a stone and sealed with the king's own signet. Darius, in his anxiety, had come on the morning after to say, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Now the greater than Daniel, whose name means God is judge, was delivered from the mouth of the lion. Him had God the Father sealed, and the word had been spoken. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from the heaven. Those words come from Psalm 85. Sinful Adam's journey to death and the grave was retraced by sinlessness and faith. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This is our comfort at every brother or sister's graveside. It is the assurance above all human conjectures and speculations. It is the truth. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. But all of this was hidden from the women's view as they journeyed to the tomb, walking in literal darkness, wondering how the stone could be removed to let them in to perform their works of tender love amidst their bitter tears. The sun rose as they neared the place, bearing their now needless burdens of spices and ointments. Instead of a stone, there was a doorway. Like so many instances in our pilgrim lives, the seeming roadblocks to our journey become the open portals of access to a greater joy and service. But the open door had not removed their fears. Who possibly could have entered the tomb before them? What wicked work had been done to their helpless Lord? Their problem had been to get into the tomb. The great problem for mankind was how to come out. The open tomb was the sign that someone had come forth. Thoroughly nonplussed, they entered and saw the greatest vacant space there has ever yet been on earth. Never had anyone seen nothing with so much import. Two dazzling angels then revealed themselves, terrifying the women, and then asking the most wonderful of all questions. "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." What a morning! Where did they leave the spices? The party of women, numbering at least 5, hurried to the company of believers, the 11, and to all the rest, to tell them the good news. No one believed them. We can imagine the scene, a party of greatly excited, amazed, breathless women, with a story that probably seemed to be incoherent and was certainly beyond the listener's belief. Their talk seemed as twaddle, as Strong's puts it. Nevertheless, Peter ran to find out. The tomb was open and empty, and, moreover, the linen clothes had been left behind. He returned, marvelling at what he had seen. As we ponder these things, let us marvel with them, and let our hearts be filled with the joy of the knowledge of the resurrection, and the certainty of what that means for us all. Thank you for listening.